Just want to welcome Hannah, is my wife. And we have three kids. She's going to give us a message today, encourage us. Just want to pray for her before she go. Father, we thank you. Thank you so much, Father, for your love and joy and peace. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so who was here the last time I spoke in January? Okay, a few people. That's good. You heard it online? Aw, that's so sweet. So I talked about, do you remember what I talked about? What was it? We, not we as in P, but we as in us. Community, yeah. So this is not really a part two. Like, community is always a continuous thing, but it's really been on my heart this last few months, the community of the Lord and the body of Christ and the unity together. So yeah, last time I shared, I spoke a little bit about, as you're reading scripture, especially in the New Testament, the you that you always see, like you're being built as a temple, your body is a temple, it's actually always plural most of the time. So it's actually always saying you as in the body are these things. And a lot of times in Western culture, we often are very individualistic and we see you as me, but you as we, you as us. Almost always in the scripture. And I just really have a passion in my heart to see us shift together in the West to become this we that the scriptures have been talking about and telling us to be, that we are the body of Christ. And our relationship with God is dependent on each other. And our relationship, God, we often always are like, well, my walk with Jesus, my walk. It's not that. It's our walk with Jesus. We cannot do this alone. We cannot come to the Father alone. We come together. We come together as one. And we are one as He is one. And we know this. We hear this, but we don't walk it in the West. And so I want to really see this being walked out in this church and in Ottawa, because this is happening. You know, we've had the pastors meeting. They've been meeting monthly, praying, and we had a big, big dinner where there was, I don't know, 60 plus or more pastors in this building, 100 pastors and wives in this building, breaking bread together and hearing what God is doing in the city. And that is something that we need to be part of. And we are a part of it. You are a part of it. And you are a part of each other's lives. So I just have this burden and this heart to see us walking together, living life together, doing life together. More than just a Sunday morning. That's not enough. It's not enough. And so, oh yeah, there was this quote. I just love this quote. And I never stop saying it. I've tried to find the source, but it says it could be an African proverb, or it could have been originated somewhere else. They don't actually know who said it, but it's really great. If you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. And I think, you know, if you ask your heart, you know, where do you want to go? Do you want to go far? Do you want to go as far as we can, right? That's where we want to go. And we need to do that together. Fast is not always the best, right? But far is how you get to the finish line. So I want to do a little thing, a little question. Okay, two questions, but brainstorm. I want to brainstorm together. And I'm going to write and try it. My writing is not great. I would like to brainstorm together. It's always helpful to hear it and see it and write it, right? You get it, it goes in a bit deeper. Okay, what are some important ingredients to making a safe and healthy community? I want to hear you guys shouting out things. I've got a little list here I'll add to it. Oh, boundaries. Expound on that a little bit. That's good. Expound on that a little bit. I'll give you a mic in a second.
Yeah, in order to be safe, if you're letting your little toddlers play around outside, it's good to have a fence around them so that they cannot get off into safe and dangerous places. So God is very good at setting boundaries in our lives. As we recognize them, it's for our safety, not for losing our joy.
Can you expound on how that looks in a community setting? Like a couple different things of how boundaries can really encourage a community to grow and be together.
To grow together? Well, it's really good in a community to know that it's not right to encroach upon another one's feelings. So we wouldn't want to go around saying rude things and being nasty. And we would want to promote good things like being encouraging. And if we see someone struggling with moving a board over here, you know, and it's a big, heavy old thing, someone's going to pop up and just fill that place.
Okay, so what else? Boundaries. We've got good community. What do we need? Generations. Praise the Lord. Yours is also amazing. But I didn't think of this one. I like this one, the generations. Wow, let's expand on that for a second. Is that something we do well in the Western context? Not really, eh? No. So let's brainstorm. This is what my whole morning is. I just felt the Lord just say, brainstorm together, be together, talk together. What are some practical, this is also in my heart, is practicality. How could we integrate generations better? I'll give a mic to you if you raise your hand, if you have an answer or a thought. It doesn't have to be like an answer, whatever, but a thought. Yes.
Perhaps less of a pay-to-care mindset where we pay other peoples to care for our older or younger generations.
Wow, that's really, really good. And that is really Western, that whole mindset, that idea. That's very good.
It's kind of similar, but I wanted to say, like, to promote inclusivity, because you tend to have separations in generations. So you like can have more family reunions, more getting together, having the younger ones respect or having fun with the older generation to know that it's cool to hang out and learn from them and they can learn from us, and just to facilitate that type of environment.
For a long time, I've really been able to see how the older generation and the younger generation, whether it's the teen or young adult generation or the little children, there are so many expectations in the Western world for them to, you know, either hold their tongue. The whole idea of being respectful is above and beyond at times. And with the older generation, they don't feel they have anything to offer anymore. It's so different than if you go to First Nations, where the elders of the community are the ones that carry the leadership and the wisdom and so on, and have so much experience that is valued and honored. Don't see the valuing and honoring of the older generation the same anymore. But it's the same is true for the younger. And we talk about boundaries, but boundaries have become like ridiculous in expectations often. Like Becky is out in Saskatchewan right now on a big farm, and the kids for the first time are able to go out and never have to worry about having an adult with them. And so, you know, we've become so overprotective for reasons, I guess, of the younger, that they don't have a sense of exploring and adventure and safety out there. Like we had growing up, we didn't have boundaries. You know, we went out in the neighborhood and everybody kind of took care of each other. So it changed.
That's the key, is the taking care of each other. Like having the aunties, the uncles, the cousins, the older cousins, because we've become so isolated. So our families are really struggling on that protective source outside of just the parents. That's very true. And so doing things as a church, like translating that from just families into a church family, how could that look? Like last year we did the Brockville trip with a bunch of people came, and there was all the generations. And that's things like having events that are not just a young adult event or just having a senior Bible study, but doing things together, doing things. How about fun? Fun, is that an important part of community? Next Sunday is going to be fun. We're going to have cake. Cake is fun. Oh, yeah, celebration. That's a good word. Fun and celebration. Those are beautiful. So fun and celebration, those are so, so important to community and to growing together. We can't forget fun. We get sometimes so focused on the serious things, and we take ourselves too seriously, and we lose out on the connecting. On the Wednesday nights, actually, I wanted to bring this up. Wednesday nights. Who has not come on a Wednesday night? There's going to be a lot of hands. Okay, so yeah, this no shame, no shame. But Wednesday nights is something that we've been trying. That's been our heart, is to bring a night together where we can come and just, you know, celebrate and have fun. We've been doing these games. And you guys, if you're not there, you're missing out. We're doing these trivial games, and we've got a couple, I'm pretty much the only younger person that's been coming, so shame on my generation. But the kids are actually just running around too. They're all together. We eat together, we have fun, and we do a game, and sometimes that's all we do. And the Lord is like, you don't have to do a study. Just enjoy each other's company. And we have been, and it's been really good, and I encourage you to come out. It is powerful. Yeah, it's been hard. We're like, gosh, is it worth it to keep going? But we want to keep going because we really believe this is from the Lord, to come together, to commune together, and have fun and fellowship. And so we've been doing games, and it's fun to laugh together and have some competition. That's fun, healthy competition. We discovered that Pastor Chuck is one of the fastest button pressers. And, you know, well, he does, and it's good. He knows his Bible, and so he was sort of, they were over there, they win the Bible category, but that's good. I like an underdog, so I was always trying to cheer for the other group. But no, it's been fun. There's been healthy competition and games, and I love that. And I think we need to do that more. And good food. And there has been cake, yeah. Yeah, we need to do that more. On Friday nights, we were just talking with a couple of the young adults, and they were like, we love to study, but we haven't been having enough fun. And I was like, you're right. So how can we like do this? Because we only have 2 hours, and how can we make this a priority? And sometimes you have to take out things to add in things, right? You can't just like add in things. But sometimes there are things that maybe we thought were important, but in this season, maybe the Lord is actually highlighting something else. One thing we like to do is talk, our groups. Our discussion groups go long, and it's great because we talk, and it's so fun and so deep. We thought maybe we could try having a smaller group. Instead of 6 people, we just do 2 or 3, and then you can really talk, and it will probably be a bit shorter, and then we have more time for fellowship and games. So we're going to try that out and see if that works, just to get that more time to disconnect. Because games, yeah, fun and games in YWAM, something we do with every DTS when they come in, because nobody knows each other from Adam, right? Most of these kids are coming from all over the world. They're coming in for a 6-month discipleship training school. The first weekend has a lot of things, like you're getting orientation, all the information. In Australia, where I was stationed, we had to go over all the poisonous animals and how to deal with them, because there's a lot of poisonous animals in Australia. So we had to go over, you know, how to deal with a snake bite, how to deal with a spider bite, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, those were very necessary things. But we also incorporated team building, which is, though, you know, we have to do that at workplaces, right? Some places do team building. And it's a fun way to get silly, get competitive, and think things that you let down your guard. You let down your guard more. And so we incorporate that, as well as, this is something that I think is super important, testimonies, stories, your story. The first Wednesday night, we were supposed to do a video, and we ended up just sharing. There was only about 7 of us maybe there, 7 or 8. And all we did that whole night was actually just share our stories. And, you know, I've known Grandma Judith since I was 5. And there was things that came out in that story that I didn't know. I was convicted because I've known also Heather Wilson. I've known her since I was 5. And there were things that I didn't really know and I hadn't thought to ask. And I was like, that's on me. I should be asking people's stories more than I have been. And it's hard on a Sunday morning, guys. There's not enough time. So that means you need to come on Wednesday. Connect. On a scale of 1 to 7 days a week, right? There's 7 days in a week. How many times do you see someone from this community? Ask yourself this question. Is it just once? Yeah. Ooh, thank you for being honest. Thank you. Is it just once? Ask yourself. I'm not going to like point anyone out, but is it just once? Is it just twice? Now, we can talk about all our excuses. We have excuses. Busyness, schedules, kids. That's my excuse. No vehicle. That's my excuse. We have excuses. However, there's always a way. Where there's a will, there's a way, guys. And if there's no will, there is no way and things don't happen. So I always say, like, when you're asking to make plans with someone, oh, maybe someday, like, we'll, you know, get together soon. Oh, who says that? Oh, we got to get together soon. Who says that? A few people. I say that. And I've been, in the last few months, I've been really convicted to actually trying to be like, next Wednesday, I'm free. When are you free? Like, let's make a plan now before we never do. Let's make a plan now before we never do. So, one, I think you need to grow if you've only seen once a week someone from this community. Now, I've not made it yet to 7, but I think I'm at 4. So I think that's pretty good. It's over half. Because we have Sunday mornings, Wednesday evenings, Thursday mornings with the girls group, and then Friday evenings with the young adults. So I've got 4, but I believe I could get to every day and be happy. I would love it if I could see someone every day. I love people. Now, introverts, also no excuses, though. I'm actually technically an introvert. You would be surprised, but I actually am. I've taken the test. I can prove it. IFTTIF. That was just a little side note. But it's a good thing to think about. How many times have you seen someone from this community this week? If it's once, you need to grow. And I'm just being real here. Okay, so testimonies and stories. Hear each other's stories. Hear where you've been through in life. You know, we were joking because, you know, Heather is in her 80s, and she was like, oh, it's hard to boil it down to like a 2-minute, 5-minute testimony because there's just so much that happens, right? But that's why we have like the rest of our lives together, right? God takes us different places, whatever. But in this season, you know, you don't have to worry. Just one Sunday morning for 5 minutes is all I'm going to get to hear someone's story. No, we can just hear little bits and pieces and get to know people. But that brings me to the next one. I think time is huge. And again, actually, I was reading a quote where it talks about the cost of community is time. It's not money. It's not whatever. I mean, sometimes with resources. But the cost, there is a cost to community, and it's time. It's where do we spend our time shows us where our values and our priorities are. You know, do we spend the time with the Lord? That should be our ultimate priority. But I think our next priority is community, is the body of Christ. I just threw that out there. It could be, if I break it down, maybe family is more important. Community should be one of the top in your life, more than possibly like the busyness of life. And there are things that we can remove to put, and it just takes praying it through and seeing and evaluating your life. Like, why is it only once a week that I see people from this community? That actually breaks my heart. Why? If you're just here for the first time, I'm so sorry. You are awesome. But us as a community, this is important, and we need to get a hold of this. Okay, what else? Time, boundaries, generations, fun, testimonies, stories. What else? Throw out something else. Openness. Yes, my next one was vulnerabilities. Yes, same thing. So good. So good. Vulnerability, openness, honesty. Yes, openness. Whew. Super. Openness and vulnerability. This is very, very key. It was almost 2 years ago I was sharing a series on worship and praise. And one of the things that I came across in my studying for that is the way your body position, like your physical body, can impact and affect your spirit and your soul. And something I've noticed, like especially in the YWAM context with kids coming in that don't know anybody, the very first posture that most people take is a closed posture, especially during worship times and testimony times when you're like super nervous to share your story. Like these guys don't know anyone and they're coming up. So I forgot to say this. During our first weekend, we have orientation, games, and testimonies. And if there's like 40 kids in that DTS, we share 40 testimonies. Like we go until 4 in the morning sometimes to get these done because it's so important. But the experience of hearing testimonies is powerful, but the experience of sharing testimonies is just as powerful. Because there was this one guy, he came in stoned to this DTS. Like he was fully drugged up. He came to this DTS because his parents had made him. He was 18. He'd grown up in church, but was wholly living a double life. He is hearing these testimonies. People are getting more open as you go because it's an example, right? As you share, people do it more. And he was probably, out of like 30 kids, he was probably the 15th or 16th. So he gets up there. He's got these long dreads. He's probably 6'4". He's skinny. And he's like jumping around. And he goes, "Guys, I'm free. I'm free." And he gets saved right there through testimonies. And he's like, this is real. And the eyes, like his eyes cleared up. Like it was miraculous. He's like, "I didn't know Jesus until this moment, hearing your stories." And he gets up and he just starts crying and laughing. And he's actually running around this room, like 6'4" with the dreads, just dancing. And it was just so beautiful. And that's the power of testimonies and openness and vulnerability. Because he could have come up and been like, oh yeah, I've been in church my whole life and I'm here and that's it. But no, he saw the realness of others and it encouraged him to be real and be open. And so back to the posture thing, something that I've really tried to incorporate into my life over the past 7-8 years, no, probably more than that, is open hands. I'm always consciously thinking about open hands. I don't know why, but even in the car when I'm driving by myself, I'll just like open a hand because that is so powerful for our spirit to be open. It's so connected. And sitting across from someone and hearing someone's testimony, just sitting there opening your hands is a very vulnerable experience. And if your heart is having a hard time, open your hands and it will connect and it will enable your heart to open up to someone in front of you. Now, don't have time, and you guys are very lucky because I was going to do an experiment that I've been warning about for a long time and I still don't think we have time. Maybe next time, part 3 or part 20 is an exercise where we look into one another's eyes, you know, two people and you for longer than that's comfortable. And you sit there and you just look at each other. in their eyes. And there has been times I've done this, and actually every time I think I've done it, someone's been crying. Usually, because the power of having someone looking into your, the first things that you think are, what's this person seeing? And it's all about yourself. And the longer it goes, the more you start to see the other person. And man, God downloads the truths about that person into your heart. And it becomes less about what that person's seeing in me, but what do I see in them? And what does God see in them? And it's powerful. And you know what? We're going to do it. We're going to do it, finally. Okay, so we need to pair up. If you're sitting beside someone already, you guys can just do each other. If you're not sitting, go grab someone. Yes, this is already, wow. If there's someone that's missing someone, raise your hand, but don't run away. I'll see you. Okay, if everyone's going, we're going to play some music in the background, and I'll set a timer. It won't be outrageous, but it will be definitely longer than what's comfortable. And thankfully, most of you guys have someone you know well, but if you don't, it is a little bit harder. But actually, it's hard, even with your spouse. It's very rare that you just make prolonged eye contact. But my challenge is to you, you guys are probably all pros at this, but to sit there with your hands open. Don't sit on your hands. And if the first inclination is to laugh. And that's okay. You can laugh. You can get your sillies out. It's not like super structured. I want your aim before, like, you can also think about what their person is thinking about you. But I want your goal to be by the end of it, to have something from the Lord for that person. And if you don't, I want you to just think about how you see that person too. Like, how do you love that person? And what do you see in them? Connect. Really see the other person. And it's going to make you love the body more, guys. This is such a powerful exercise. And there is so much more that I have, but I think this is kind of where we're going to end, and then we'll do a song after. But this is connection. This is so good. You don't have to be like this close. But actually, in the New Zealand culture, and actually many island cultures, they do something like this, but we don't have to do this. You know what? So many other cultures besides the Western culture do that because it's powerful. It's I see you, I know you, I breathe you, I experience you, I feel your breath. It's amazing. It's powerful. You don't have to be that close. Now take a couple minutes and share with what you felt. I hope those on Zoom did it as well. If you're alone, you can do it with Jesus. I should have said that, I forgot. But if you were with someone in the room with you, you could have done that as well at home. I want to hear, was that like super awkward? Did you find like, oh, there was, like, what did you find hard about it? What did you enjoy about it?
Well, what I found hard was not, or to try to keep out my own thoughts and my own emotions. But God clearly spoke to me, and I shared it with Jacob.
Thank you so much. That's amazing.
I think it's hard to keep from goofing off. That's all. It was useful, but I mean, I turned everything into a joke, right?
Because it's a defense.
It is a defense mechanism. Mm-hmm.
And so then we needed a 10-minute session then, so you can get past that next time.
God is good.
Does anyone else?
I'm glad it was my wife. It would be much harder with somebody you don't really know.
I just want to comment about meeting each other more than how many times?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I can see why we can only meet once or twice a week. It's because we're all scattered throughout the city. Yes. We're not community anymore. Churches used to be community.
Very, very good point. It is really hard because in this culture, we do live very far. Where Blessing and Leo are from, everyone lives like within a 2-minute walk from each other. So that is sometimes maybe a longer walk, but that is very, very true. Location is tricky, especially if you don't have a vehicle or things like that. Yes, it is hard.
I was just thinking something that goes with a lot of things you put up there. It's just been really sitting in me this whole time is that one thing we're really missing is the spiritual mothers and fathers, those relationships, for the younger generation to really glean from the older generation and that they have so much to offer. And I know this because I had this type of relationship with someone for over 20 years, and I wouldn't be where I am in my faith without it. Then we can then pour in to the generation below us because it's one thing to have a community where we all get together, but we have to have those relationships individually too, where there can be that vulnerability and that openness first, and to grow each other's faith as iron sharpens iron. And I noticed that we don't really see this. Women can be good at it, but men don't have it, and they need that.
Another word that we didn't get to, but initiation. That's not the word like to initiate someone, like in the university setting, but taking initiative. because I think that's integral in that kind of a relationship. Because I could say like, oh, I really need a mentor, but if I just never take initiative to ask someone or pray and find someone, that will never happen, right? Same with if you are an older person and you want that relationship with a younger person. Imagine you just coming to someone and saying, I felt the Lord had you on my heart and I want to minister to, like, I want to pour into you. Can we have coffee? And I just want to hear how I can pray for you. That would make me feel so special. So it's both ways, right? We have to take initiative. I need to take responsibility for myself, but also it's both. And I think that's so important. Like the mentorship, that connecting with the generations came together. Yeah. But also, like you were saying, the one-on-one outside as well. And that's on us. In YOM, there was many times when someone would come and join staff. They'd already done a DTS, and they sort of expected that experience to continue on. But when you become staff, it actually is a quite a different experience. And something that would really trip up, especially a lot of the young women, was feeling this, oh, no one's pouring into me. And it would really make them actually turn into a bit of a bitterness type thing of, oh, no one really cares about me. Like, I'm not being pastored. No one's like, and there is that, like the older staff should have been taking an initiative to welcome and encourage and meet them. But I would often share with those individuals, ask, like, use your voice and go initiate a conversation with an older staff. Or, you know, it's on us too. Like, we have to take responsibility for so many things in our lives. And oftentimes we sort of get caught up in these expectations. And expectations can really bring disappointment if we have these. It does. And bitterness is like such an enemy's tactic. This thing of like, well, that person didn't talk to me this morning. Like, I'm a little bit perturbed. or like, I know, like, with, especially in leadership, like, it's easy to get offended with the leaders. Within the YWAM base, there was one, like, a married couple. They were leading the base, and then there was all the staff, and then there was sort of a leadership team. And I was good friends with the leader, because we've been there for a long time, and she shared, like, how often, many times, people would get so bitter and angry at her for things she didn't even know about, because they didn't, no one ever asked. Like, or they had these expectations that this lady would be, like, their overseer, their mentor, they'd be able to go to her for everything, et cetera, et cetera. Expected that she would come and take care of them personally. And it just didn't happen because they didn't have like the time. And there's a lot of pressure in that way as well. And anyways, and it's on our it's our responsibility to be initiating. So you need to take, I'll just do T-I, take initiative in our relationships with one another. Oh, location. That's a trickier one because it seems a bit harder to deal with. Right? Like, how do we practically deal with that? Yes.
I think a big problem with the culture today is everyone, you know, with social media, this feeds into it too. People aren't real anymore. Everyone tries to put on an image, and, you know, on, you know, Facebook and all that, you post all these wonderful pictures of when life is going well and you're happy and everything's good. And, I mean, that leads to people feeling pride and an inability to be real because they don't want to reveal what's really going on in their life. And, you know, before in families, if you had problems, you shared the problems. So you knew that people weren't perfect because you were sharing problems all the time. But now it's like people want to hide problems if they had them. And I mean, I'm not a very proud person, so when I have problems, I tend to share them. But I'm always amazed that when I share them, then someone else will feel, oh, well, then I can be real with her. And they tell me that, like, that they're going through something too. And it's like, if people could just get real and stop being so concerned with an image, I mean, then other people would open up. And I mean, that's what family should be. You shouldn't have to put on appearance in front of people. And I don't know, you know, even talking to people and, you know, I ask about their family and it's like, well, I don't really know what's going on with my grown kids because that's really none of my business. And I think, my God, they're your family. That is your business. You know, at the very least, if you know what's going on, you know how to pray for them.
Yeah, no, that's very good. Being real. It goes along with the openness and the vulnerability. Just being real with one another is so important. There's so many more things we could add to this list, and we're only on the second slide or something. Yeah, we can do. There was just one. I always want to bring this back to application. We can think of problems and whatever all the time, but I would love it if we think about this for 2 minutes before we come up and do the last song. Think of one thing that you practically this week can do to engage in this community. One thing that you can challenge yourself in different. Like if you already come to things like that, but something different, something new for you. What is one thing that you could do this week that would encourage you to be deeper into this community? Does that make sense? Think of one thing. I've got a whole list here, but I want you to think of one thing, whether it's you asking someone their story right after this service, like a little, just give me a 5-minute rundown of who you are, or you actually calling someone from this church and asking them their story and hearing more about their life, whether it's inviting someone this week to come to your house for dinner, whether it's doing someone's dishes for them, going to their house. This is like a young mom's thing. How can we help the young moms in this community? Or how can we help the elders in this community? Is there someone that really just would really be encouraged by you going to visit them in their home and bringing, you know, a little snack with you and some tea or a coffee? Bringing coffee to someone that you know is a little lonely. Or coming on Wednesday night if you haven't yet. Praying for someone that you know is struggling. That's a classic. If you already do that, again, don't do that. Do something new. I mean, do that. Continue praying for people. Don't stop praying. But do something new. Add something in. Share a testimony with someone else. Be vulnerable or ask for prayer this week. Ask someone else that you don't know maybe really well or someone you do know well. If you don't already do this, ask someone for prayer and be open about a real need that you have. So there's lots of ideas you can do. We'll just take 2 minutes. You pray, write it down, because if you don't write it down, it's harder to do. Write it down on your phone or pen or whatever. Think of something that you can do this week that will encourage you to be a deeper part of this community. That's a deeper question, yes. Number 2, how can you be more vulnerable this week? Yeah, with your community. Very good.